You're listening to SBS News.
Palau, an independent island nation in the Western Pacific Ocean, consists of more than 300 islands in Micronesia. It's a popular destination for divers and eco-tourists, and visitors are required to take the Palau Pledge to protect its ecosystems. But Palau is already facing the immediate reality of climate change, with rising sea levels, coral bleaching, extreme weather events, and biodiversity loss. Sir Angell Whipps Jr., the president of Palau, has spoken at the United Nations General Assembly in New York and wants to see the COP31 Global Climate Conference held in the Pacific region rather than in Turkey, because this is where climate change is already having devastating impacts. He's been talking to SBS senior international correspondent Ben Lewis and told him that Palau and Australia are family and the two countries need to work together.
Mr. President, thank you for your time joining us on SBS News. You were there to hear Donald Trump call, and I'll just read it off my notes to get it exactly right. He said climate change was the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world. What was your first thought when you heard that?
Well, I come from a small island in the Pacific, and I've lived there most of my life, 54 years to be exact. And during that time, those 50 years, I've seen docks that at the highest tide, water would not overrun. But now, water does overrun them. So whether it's science or those of us who live it, I don't think it's a con job. I think it's very much the reality that we live in. And it is unfortunate, because I think seeing is believing, and probably why it's so important for us in the Pacific that we have a Pacific COP. And that is why the Pacific has stood up for Australia, to bring the COP to the Pacific, to be a COP that brings that focus and attention. Because I think in a lot of places, if you're in the middle of New York, you don't see it, maybe you don't feel it, but when our living rooms are being invaded with water, and when our roofs are being blown off because of storms, or our coral is dying because of extreme heat in the ocean, and fish are disappearing, that's what we live every day.
It must sadden you that it felt like a few years ago perhaps we'd moved past climate change denialism. It seems to be making a comeback. I mean, can you explain it?
Well, I think a lot of times it's what the people want to hear. And I think there, sometimes as politicians, we play to the music of our audience. And if our supporters want to be climate change deniers, that's what we tell them. Those of us that really live it, we don't have an option. We can't go home and say, no, climate change doesn't exist. For us, because we live it, we know it. But for the rest of the world, I can see why if you're living in Arkansas, you may not see it.
You mentioned before bidding for COP31. Australia, obviously, it's a co-bid with Pacific nations. Turkey is still interested, despite the fact that it appears the numbers are with Australia and the Pacific bid. Is it time for Turkey to gracefully pull out of the race?
Well, I really hope that Turkey will understand the importance of a Pacific COP and work with us. I think Turkey has an opportunity to work with the Pacific, and by saying, no, it is time. The reality is we've been to Sharm el-Sheikh, we've been to Dubai, and we've been to Baku. And Turkey is in the same neighborhood. I mean, we really want the focus to move. And of course, this year it's in Belém, in the middle of the Amazon. It needs to be a blue COP. It needs to be about the ocean. The biggest impacts are happening in the ocean. And it is our second lung. It needs to be protected. It needs to be used sustainably. I mean, we have plastics pollution. We have deep sea miners that want to go up and rip the bottom of the ocean up in the name of climate change. These are the realities that we face, and said, you know, let's come, let's work together and solve these problems. And, you know, that's the other reason why it's so important that Australia is given a chance, is because they are true climate champion leaders. When it comes to the ambitious NDCs that they showed this week, I mean, I think compared to any developed countries, they're way ahead. And that's showing the commitment of not just the government, but the people. Because in the end, the people of Australia, and I know in the last election this was a contentious issue, have decided that climate is important, the Pacific is important. We're all family, and we should stand up for each other. And this week, I signed a MOU with Minister Bowen about helping on the energy transition, on the path to 100% renewables in the Pacific, but especially helping Palau. And I think that's what we need. That's the kind of leadership we need. And I think that's what the world needs to see. And that's why it's so important that Australia hosts the COP, because they're champions. And we need champions to show the world how champions should behave, how they should act, and how they should be partners in development in really changing the world.
This General Assembly has had a lot going on. There's been talk about war in the Middle East, war in Ukraine, tariffs, all sorts of things. Mm. There have been side events on climate. It hasn't been the main topic of discussion in the General Assembly hall, I guess. Are you at all disappointed that it feels like it has dropped off the UN agenda maybe just a little bit because of other world events?
Yes, you know, I was working on my speech this morning, and one of the things that I've been listening to the conversation, and it's about Gaza and it's about Ukraine. And so I just, you know, I said, let's find out what the total defense spending in the world was last year. And it was $2.7 trillion. And you're right, we're here and that's all we're talking about. But it was interesting listening to one of the presidents, I think it was Ghana, who said, you know, we have all these climate refugees that are moving from the global south to the global north. They're not moving because they're looking for opportunity, because they are climate refugees. And there's going to be more of them. And who's causing them to be climate refugees? It's the global north, which produces 75% of greenhouse gases. So, you know, these are, I think it's important to help the world refocus. We're spending so much money on defense instead of mitigation, adaptation, addressing loss and damage, and transitioning so that we can stop inflicting pain on ourselves.
You might have saw China announced new targets, I believe, yesterday, emissions targets, which were a little bit lower than the previous ones. Did that satisfy you at all? Is that a good move? Is it far enough?
I believe I was listening to President Xi at one of the events, and he was saying 5 to 10%, and I thought, really? Is the leader and the biggest producer of renewable energy products, you would think that that target should be higher, as the largest carbon emitter now. And you know, at the end of the day, Australia, the Pacific Islands getting together and being 100% is really a drop in the bucket. We need China, India, the US, of course, and the Europe to stand up and take responsibility and act. That's what we're asking for. That's what we come here to do, is ask for them to take action.
On China, a little while ago, you made some comments that got picked up quite widely in Australia, saying that the region in the Pacific is already at war with China in a way. Was there any blowback from those comments from Beijing?
Well, I haven't seen any, except in my local media, because in my local media, there's people that support China. So they said, we haven't heard of the missiles and all these, the invasion that the president's talking about. And, you know, I was talking about the weaponization of tourism and cybersecurity attacks and crossing our borders without permission. That's already happening. It's like climate change. These are things that we see that are happening. And when we don't follow the rules of law, right? I think that's what concerns us. So, you know, everybody needs to respect each other's sovereignty, but also have a responsibility. And, you know, the ICJ opinion, we're grateful for Vanuatu for their leadership and those young people that helped them prepare that, is so important because it now holds the world accountable, holds all of us accountable to start making the right decision and the right choices, not just for us, but for our children and their children.
Palau has great relations with Australia, as we know. Is Australia doing enough to win friends, keep influence across the Pacific region?
Well, you know, I think one of the big things that I've seen in the last few years is Australia has really stepped it up. You know, I remember going to the first COP in Glasgow in 2021, and Australia's ambition was at 26% for 2030. And we said the ultimate goal is it should be 50% by 2030 to stay below 1.5. And quickly the Australian government said, no, we're going to raise that to 43%. And you know, that's an important signal to the Pacific, because as the biggest brother in the Pacific family, that's what we need. We need leadership from Australia. And I think what's most important, and listening to the Prime Minister's speech at Anga yesterday, is, you know, Australia, I think, is at least the beacon of hope that we can count on as a reliable partner that cares about what is happening in the Pacific and is there to partner with us. So,
is it just about climate, though? I mean, it feels like there's this sort of constant battle between Canberra and Beijing to sort of win friends and influence people in the Pacific. Is there anything more Australia should be doing to retain its influence in such an important region?
Well, I think it's so important that not only do we talk about climate change or we talk about security, because I think that's the areas that we're usually talking about. I think the other thing that I've been really working on our partners, and I've told this to the Prime Minister of Japan, I've asked the U.S., I've told it to the President of Taiwan, and I, of course, PM Albanese, is that we need to bring Australian investment. And so really the first step in that is the flights. So there's two flights that the Australian government supports in the Pacific. The North Pacific Connector, that's Air Nauru, that connects Brisbane all the way up through the north and then comes from Kiribati, Marshall Islands, Pohnpei, Palau, and then on to Manila. And there's also a Qantas flight that brings now tourists from Brisbane to Palau once a week. And we're so grateful, really, to the support of the Australian government. We want those flights to be viable and permanent, because that's what brings us together. And not only that, we have one Australian hotel that's in Palau. And that's fantastic. We want more. So come and invest. Come and look at the opportunities in the tourism sector. Start a restaurant. Build a hotel. But also, there's also areas of opportunity in construction. So I was down at an investment conference in Brisbane trying to encourage people to come up and look at opportunities there. So I know there's already one Australian company that's gotten a contract that's going to be doing work in Palau, and we want more. And I think that's the opportunities that are there, because when you have the flight, it's about connecting people, building relationships, and I think everything grows from there.
And that tourism, I mean, because I know many Chinese tourists go to Palau, which then creates a sort of an economic level of control. Getting more Australian tourists in might help with that too.
Absolutely. You know, Australian tourists to Fiji, 50,000 a month. We'd be happy if we got 10,000 a year from Australia. If we got 50,000 a year, fantastic. They will be our number one visitor. But you know, there's only 20,000 people in Palau. Palau is very unique. I think we have a lot to offer, but we're just undiscovered. And you know, if you talk to the typical Australian, I don't think they've ever heard of Palau. So thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Hopefully they will have now.
Yeah.
Just briefly, what's your relationship with the US like at the moment, given that under the Trump administration, obviously climate is no longer a big focus? Are you still able to work productively with the US?
Well, you know, our relationship is in so many areas. Health, education, security, disasters. They don't call it climate change, but they also help in disasters. So at the end of the day, politics, you know, sometimes you have to say different things. But I think at the end of the day, the relationship between Palau and the United States is as strong as ever. And it's because our lives are so intertwined and dependent on each other. I really believe that Palau and the United States are true partners, and that partnership is not just temporary or in a political cycle, it's a long-term relationship. So as far as, yes, we may have differing opinions on climate change, but that doesn't mean we can't work together to solve problems. And that's what I'm all about, is solving problems.
And just finally, Palau is one of the Pacific states that recognize Taiwan. Obviously, there's been pressure from Beijing for many countries not to do that. Is that pressure ever going to succeed with Palau, or is that is something you feel that is the morally right thing to do?
As long as I'm president, I don't think it'll change. It can't change because the president is the one that decides. I've made it very clear that we are friends to all, and no one should tell us who our friends can be. And Beijing has made it very clear to me, we want to have diplomatic relations with you, but you need to denounce Taiwan. And I say, absolutely not. They're a trusted, reliable partner, has been with us through thick and thin. And like us, we were at one time, we weren't a member of the UN because we were a trust territory of the United States. But I think it's so important that people are allowed to govern themselves, and Taiwan has been self-governing long before Palau was self-governing. They have their own military, and that should be respected. All that we ask for in the Pacific is that we maintain peace, and peace brings prosperity to all, not just Taiwan, not just Palau, to China too.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you.